Did you have some sugary soda or something? Oh, it was the Holy Spirit. That's right. It is pleasing to be with you this morning. I've been doing a series about fruitful Christian living. The title of the message this morning is Death Proceeds. Say that with me. Death Proceeds. That was real weak. One more time. Death Proceeds. Death Proceeds what? In the realm of being Christian, death must proceed fruitful Christian living. And some of you that maybe don't understand that might be in a little panic. But what happens in the Christian life is we've got to die to ourselves. I'll share some scriptures in a moment about that. But you see, before Christ could give us life, He had to die. He made the payment for all our sin, but because He chose to honor His Father in being that sacrifice in death on the cross, God raised Him up in the greatest power and authority that's ever been identified and recognized on the earth. Hello? Who hasn't heard the name of Jesus Christ in the earth? Not many. Still some have not heard the gospel. But most of the world has heard the gospel. Most of the world celebrates Christmas, although many who celebrate Christmas don't know what Christmas is about and or who it's about. Hello? But Jesus Christ was honored by His Father, and the reward was extravagant for taking on death to Himself. And because of that, He now gives us the offer of life everlasting and abundant life in this life. How many want abundant life? Okay. How many are, I can take it or leave it? No hands up. Everybody wants abundant life. But the thing is, not very many realize and know how abundant life comes. And so therefore, some people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as a mental concept of understanding. But what is really required is a spiritual concept of death to self, because that's the kind of death we're talking about. Not a literal physical death, but a spiritual death. What happens when you're saved and born again and the transformation that takes place is a spiritual one to your spirit. You are comprised, every human being is comprised of a body, a soul, and a spirit. What gets saved and born again is your spirit. Then what happens is your spirit begins to be the CEO of you. Hello? And your soul begins to be governed by the CEO, your spirit, and therefore the soul gets completed, and oftentimes the soul needs healing, and sometimes when we get saved, our soul needs deliverance. My soul needed deliverance. So did Stan's. That's something Stan and I have in common. Most of you are included in that. Your soul needed deliverance. You just didn't know it, or nobody explained that to you since that time. You're all good now, and it doesn't make all that much difference, other than it'd be good for you to know and understand, because when you want to witness, and you do want to witness, right? You want to share the gospel with other people, and you're doing that often, or not so much. You see, if we can explain the gospel, the people that hear the gospel usually start to hear it to their mind. They don't hear it first to their spirit. So the better we can testify of it and explain it, the more people will come to this saving knowledge of Christ. For example, I shared the gospel and led two people to Christ in the service here this morning. And as I was walking around, which I was doing, the Holy Spirit came, which you know, you were here. And so I just had the sense to move around the room and look for those who might need Jesus. And when I saw them and looked at them and they looked at me, they knew and I knew. I asked them both. I knew and they knew. Well, how did that work? It's a phenomenon to us because it's the world of the Holy Spirit. He does what we cannot do in the natural. So it's so necessary that we, if you don't die to yourself, it's impossible to hear Him. It's impossible to fellowship with Him. It's impossible for you to get a word of knowledge of who to go to and have spiritual eyes to see that He's on them and He's doing something and He wants to do something. Hello? Death to self. Jesus experienced it. It was necessary. Even Jesus. He said, to do the will of my Father is true food for me. He's at the cross. They're getting ready to put Him to death. He's hanging on the cross. And what does He say? He says, Father, if... This is paraphrase. Hey, Dad, I'd rather not. Paraphrase. I'd rather not have to die here like this. It's pretty painful. But if you want me to, my love for you is sufficient for the pain and the sacrifice that you're asking of me. You get it? Do you get it? That's profound. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that love never fails, that love believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and in the end, love never fails. It didn't fail Jesus. He asked, He committed, He acknowledged that the Father's love was sufficient for Him to take on the challenge of the pain and the literal death of the cross, which He did. But on the third day that had been revealed to Him, and He had shared with His disciples, on the third day, I'm coming again. I'll be back. You get saved, you might have some third day experiences. Huh? You might get saved and have to have some dying. Matter of fact, you will be required to have some yet dying to self, because after you come to salvation is when you are prepared for the process of the dying to self. It can't be done prior to that, because it's a spiritual process and a spiritual dynamic of process. It's not a physical one or even a soulish one. Am I making sense? Now, I know that most everyone, if not everyone at this point in the room, has been saved. But are you living a fruitful Christian life? In every kind of way. And I'm not saying that life is perfect, because we live in this present evil age, Galatians 1:4, right? The devil's moving about like a roaring lion. How many had a fuss with your spouse in the last week and could admit it in public? Oh, there are some brave people. Well, you're here. Neither of you are bruised that we can see. Only kidding about that. We have a couple here who just got married, come to Arizona to get married. Dale and Hope Vanderweide's friends from Michigan. And as I understand it, Dale and Hope's testimony to them of Christianity has been profound in their life. And they came to Arizona to be ministered to by the Vanderweides, and the marriage done, by the Vander Weedies because of the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now that's worth a good, is it? After the service, when we're out having the snacks and so forth, please give them a word of encouragement and a prophetic word if you have one. God is good. So all the wonderful things that take place and can take place in the potential. Now, John chapter 12, verse 23 and 25. And Jesus answered them. First, I want to cover who's the answering and who is inquiring. Well, in John chapter 12, Jesus had earlier raised Lazarus from the dead. That's rather, a dynamic thing to do, to raise somebody from the dead. And so he's moving about, and everybody that had heard about this, which were many, many people, they're inquiring of him, who are you, and how did you do that? And, this is an additive just for fun, but someone could have said, well, my uncle, he died about 2 years ago. Would it be possible? Nobody's laughing. Okay, forget it. They're inquiring of him. But his answers are surprising, aren't they? You always expect something else. Did you notice that when Jesus is inquired of, he usually says something shocking? And in natural terms, bizarre. You ever notice that? So they're inquiring, hey, you raised that guy from the dead. What else can you do? I got a couple of needs. They may have been saying that. And Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Now, they don't necessarily know that he is the Son of Man, but he's inferring that. Truly, truly. Now, when he says truly, truly, what he means is listen up. Get this, because this is really, really, truly, truly important. I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies. Now, hopefully you understand some concepts about farming and gardening. You take a seed, you put it in good soil, you give it some moisture and sunlight, and that seed gets what's called a sprout come out of it. And that sprout grows up into a stalk of some kind, and it produced 30, 60, 100-fold and beyond. Hello. We know the concept. Going on. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, he is speaking about himself here, and he is speaking about what's to come after his resurrection for all of us and them. It remains by itself alone. In other words, you got you, and you're dependent on you, and that's it. Now, if you've got a grain of wheat and you need a harvest, you've got two choices, right? You can eat it and have a little morsel, or you can plant it and wait for the harvest. The Father decides to plant Jesus as a grain of wheat. Reading on, it remains by itself alone, but if it dies, if Jesus dies, I forget what the number is, but it's some number of billions of Christians are in the earth today. Hello. It's a good thing that Jesus chose and submitted himself to be that grain of wheat. It bears much fruit. Here we are. I'm confident that your testimony would be the same as mine. I am so pleased that I'm a Christian. I wouldn't want to not be a Christian. I never consider, I think I'll give up being a Christian. What I'm thinking about is future and ongoing ways to die to myself. And you can count on this. God will give you plenty of opportunity for that. Have you noticed that? Now, let me speak to those who might be struggling today, and I see a few that are. Don't panic. I'm not going to point you out yet. Do you know why you're struggling? Would you like your struggle to be over and done? Just die. die. Yeah, but you don't understand my struggle. No, I don't understand your struggle. But there's only ever one answer for the struggle. Die. Die to you and live unto Jesus Christ, and He will resurrect you. Now, I'm not saying that circumstance that is causing the struggle will be instantly over. It might not change. It might get worse. But you be oblivious to its impact on you. Because life is found in Him and in submitting ourselves to Him in our own death. It remains by itself alone, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it. So if you got a lot of self-interest, you're not going to be very happy. If you're in fellowship with people who are full of self-interest, they don't make you very happy, do they? And you fuss often, don't you? What's the answer? It's here. And he who hates his life in this world shall keep it to life eternal. Now, the word hate there translates a little easier into if you have disinterest in yourself and you know that your needs are met in your death to self and the embracing of Jesus Christ in every way that you can fathom. Now, ask this question. What then prevents fruitful living? Carnal, self-centered interest prevents fruitful living. Trouble is always preceded by self. Self doesn't want to yield. Self wants what it wants when it wants it. And what we tend to do, even as Christians, we attempt often to stay alive when we ought to choose death. You know, when you're in a disagreement with someone and you're thinking, or not thinking, usually, when I do that, I mean, it's a millisecond after the last word comes out of my mouth, I regret having said it. I regret having had the attitude, and I say, sorry, Lord. And he says, that's okay. I'll help you die by the result you're going to create by having said that with the attitude that you had. Yes, sir. And here it comes. Whoever it's from or whatever circumstance comes out of. That's because he wants to help us die to self. And after some training, hopefully, we mature. Now, we live in a world where heavenly things confuse our earthly minds. It's difficult to wrap ourselves around this concept, but consider some things that we see in the Scripture. 2 Corinthians 4:18 reveals that we see unseen things. Now, I'm saying that I saw these two people this morning, and I could tell that they were wanting and ready to receive Christ. Really, Dennis? We see unseen things. You can't see that. How do you see that? You'd have to go up and have a conversation, have some verbal exchange, and then you could hear it, but you can't see it. No, you can see it. But it's heavenly. It's spiritual seeing. But it still has a reality. And when the reality's proven in the fruit that it produces, hopefully we begin to embrace that reality in seeing what is unseen. Hello? You getting it? That's why we have such value here for spiritual gifts. Next, Romans 6, I love Romans 6, verses 6 to 18, reveals that we conquer, we win, so to speak, when we yield. When we're obedient to Jesus Christ, whether it's easy or whether we feel like it or not. That's not a natural concept, right? We refuse those who are inquiring and demanding and so forth. But not in God's world and God's economy. Next, in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, Jesus says that we will find rest under His yoke. Now, you know what a yoke is. They put it on oxen to pull heavy loads. we pull the Lord, the weight of the Lord sometimes as we be witnesses and testimonies, as we die to ourselves and honor Him in our choices and in our words and all of our life. It's not a difficult yoke. Why not? Because death to self yields a harvest. Death to self yields fruitful Christian living. It is the way. If we come to the conclusion of that, make a commitment to it, and believe it, and keep that commitment, and we mature in it, then fruitfulness just begins to be abundant on and on and on, to the degree that you'll see what you can't see. You'll know what you couldn't know. You'll have a hardship arise, and it'll come on you like a yoke, and you'll just bear right down under that, just happy as can be, and move it right along. Hello? Some are thinking, yeah, okay, but it still doesn't sound like fun. Does life always have to be fun? Is every day Disneyland? Is it? Is every day Disneyland? It's not. We live in this present evil age. You put on the yoke of the Lord, and it'll seem like Disneyland every day. Hello? You'll pull the load. It'll work. Luke 9 talks about being great. Everybody wants to be great, right? Well, in the economy of God, those who are great are last in line. The first shall be last. The humble are great in the eyes of the Lord. We love Jesus Christ because He is the primary example of humility. Everybody loves humble people. How many know Stan Landry? If you want a picture of humility, just grab hold of him, look in his eyes, listen to him a little bit, watch his life. He truly is humble. Hello? I'm telling you the truth. He's more interested in giving than he is getting. He wants a paycheck at the end of the week because he works hard. He's a humble man. He's pretty happy too. We're made great by becoming little. In Matthew 23, it says that we're exalted by being humble. You know, the burden of trying to be somebody and to be recognized is more than we can carry. But we can submit ourselves to Jesus Christ, who has already been exalted. We do that in humility, and then He exalts us at the proper time and in the proper ways. In John 12 that we've just read, we see that we live by dying. You see the contrast of those things that are carnal and those things that are spiritual, those things that are heavenly and those things that are worldly. Sometimes when you're choosing, and you're choosing from yourself, you're probably choosing the very opposite that you ought to choose. That's why it's so important that we know the principles of the Scripture about these things, and we make understanding of them so that we apply them in our lives. What brings fruitful living? Death to self. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me. So fruitful living is the byproduct of our death to self. And it always will be. How much more fruitful living do you want? All that's required is die a little more to yourself. If you understand this concept, you're choosing it repeatedly and on a daily basis, and therefore the fruit just keeps yielding more and more, and that encourages you in what you've committed to. And if there is some personal hardship in the submitting to that death, and there is, and there can be, the fruit will far supersede the cost of that submission. Now this question, where and how do we die to ourselves? I've already said this. We die at the cross in salvation. But there is a process after that of growth in death to self. And if we understand that, let me ask this question. There's a classic book that's, I don't know how many million copies have been printed. But if you haven't read this, please obtain it ASAP. Devour it. Devour. You ready? Got your pen sharp? Got your phone ready to peck in? That's still an amazement to me. The author is Dr. Neil Anderson. The book is Victory Over the Darkness. You've heard me about it on and on and on and on. But if you have not read it, and I don't mean just read it and lay it on the nightstand, it gets dusty and it ends up in a yard sale. If you ever buy it, you never get rid of it because you reread it at least once a year. Hello? Get that book, Victory Over the Darkness. Read it. If you have questions, contact me. I'll answer the questions. But it's easy enough to understand. And it's full of scriptural principles. And it identifies this process of dying to self and the fruitfulness that comes. You really, really need to read it. Victory Over the Darkness, Dr. Neil Anderson. Where do we get the fruitful life? Luke 9, 23, 24. And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself. We want to come after Christ. What, right? We want to know him, be loved by him. We want the fruitful life that only he can give. Come after him, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, meaning die to self, and follow me. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Look, I asked last week about when was the last time you had been offended, and we did, 3 days, 20 minutes, 2 weeks, all that. Here's the thing. If you're staying dead to yourself, what do dead men do? Nothing. They just take up a little space, and if they haven't been, we don't need to go into the details of that, they stink. They take up space and they stink. Now, what kind of life is that? Really, what kind of life is that? It's no kind of life. If you keep your life, you only take up space and you'll stink. If you've got things in your life that you keep doing and being, but you know it's wrong and you don't want to do it, you sincerely don't want to do it. You don't want to be that. You don't want to say that. You don't want to do that. There's only one problem and one issue. You're not dead. You're not dead. Sometimes we have just one area in our life. It's not the whole life is not dead. Maybe 99% of it's dead, but there's just this one thing, just one thing. Well, I'm not dying there. We don't think that. But it's there like that. If you'll die just to that little bit, make a world of difference in His presence and what He can do and what He wants to do in your life. Absolutely incredible. It's dying to self that causes us to bear fruit from God and for God. Now, it requires obeying Him. Therefore, it is a process of self-interest removal. Self-interest removal. Oftentimes, we want renewal, spiritual renewal, and we do need spiritual renewal. But what spiritual renewal helps facilitate, but will have a ceiling on, if you're not dead to self, spiritual renewal comes first to get you dead. Hello. The Holy Spirit comes to bear witness of truth, convict of sin, and guide in prayer. So we're looking for renewal. And the process is, He's looking to kill us. We ought to, every Sunday when you see your your brother or sister in the Lord, hey, been killed recently? Hey, let me tell you about my near-death experience. If you're dead to self, you'll stop talking like that to your spouse. You'll stop taking up an offense over anything and everything that gives an opportunity to be offended. I don't want to pick on you, but if you're getting offended several times a day, you're in trouble. You are in trouble. Hello? You're in trouble. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You're not guilty. Because if you're saved, you can't be guilty. But you can be troubled if you're not dead to yourself. Here's the goal. The goal is you come to a place where it's very difficult for you to be offended. And it's seldom that it happens. But when it does, you repent over the offense quickly, and you know and understand that there is no blame that can be placed on anyone for your offense. Hello, get a hold of this with me. It don't matter what they do. It doesn't mean that it's right. If they sin against you, then the Lord deal with them. But if you take offense at them for what they've done to you, then the Lord deal with you too. Hello? You don't get forgiven until you forgive, even though they're the perpetrator of sin against you. Hello? Dead men don't take offense. If you're taking offense and there's any pattern of it, you got to die. There need be no fuss, no harsh words, no trouble in your house. Hear me. Fruitful Christian living, I'm preaching. No trouble, no harsh words. Well, I'm going to tell her. I'm going to tell him. No, there's somebody listening. Well, I don't want my kids to hear. You ought to be a little more concerned about it. Or you have resurrected yourself into your flesh, and your soul is very happy to rise up and put condemnation on someone, take offense, get distance from Jesus Christ, and therefore have a stumbling bigger than what you just shot your mouth off about. Now, some of you are thinking, you're getting too realistic here. No condemnation. What are we going to do? We're going to die to self. And when we do, he begins to live. The glorious risen life of Jesus Christ begins to rise up in us. And the fruit comes, and it's all labeled Jesus Christ of Nazareth, sent from heaven under the rule of heaven to you, that one who's been sanctified, saved, born again, and delivered from his soullessness, knowing the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, bringing fruit into your life day after day, time after time. Would you stand with me, please? We have the worship team come. Thank you. Holy Spirit, would you bring peace on your people? Would you help them have no condemnation upon themselves or anyone else? And would you help us this morning to understand the power of death to self, and stir in us faith for a fruitful Christian living kind of life where we're seldom offended, where we walk in the power of the love of heaven. Might your conviction be here in a peaceful joy upon all the people to yield to it. If you're here this morning and you could say, I need a greater and more complete death to self. Just put up a hand. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. Just put up a hand. Lord, you see our hands. Please recognize them as a confession. That at times we stumble. And we're so thankful you do not take offense against us for our stumbling. But that your love is still present, active. And by your Spirit, you're looking to separate us, soul from spirit, in this death, in the process of it. We ask that you would forgive us for trying to keep our lives, even in the smallest of ways. And Holy Spirit, I ask you'd come this morning and light your holy fire in us. Please join me here in a commitment. And stay at your seat in a commitment to a greater dying to self, so the greater living in Jesus Christ would be present in our lives. And we would be living epistles and testimonies of the power and grace of our King and Lord. Lord, let this not be fleeting to anyone. As we go through this week, let the process of dying to self be mighty and profound and life-changing. In Jesus' name, we could all say yes and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Lamb is overcome. Sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah, the Lamb is overcome.